Welcome to the November 21st, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Living a No Regrets Life. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
And welcome to College Park on a beautiful pre-Thanksgiving Sunday morning. It's good to see you all here. It's good to feel the energy in God's house as we gather together for worship. So whatever brought you here today, glad you are here and look forward to worshiping with you. In a few minutes before worship, I want to share a few quick announcements about what is going on this week and in the life of our church right now. You'll notice that I do not have red hair. I'm pinch hitting for my good pal Jeff Allen, who is with our youth group at Ridgecrest. They've been at Ridgecrest for the associational fall retreat this weekend, and we took a big group, and there's a really big group down at Ridgecrest, and they've had a great weekend together, and they are worshiping together at Ridgecrest this morning, and they have a joint praise band from all our church and four of the other churches, and that are leading worship right now as we gather together right now. So we're happy for them, and they send their greetings to you. First of all, today we will have children's time, and if the children will join Raymond down front after the pastoral prayer near the beginning of the service, we're going to have children's time. Later today, there will be no, for parents that are here, there'll be no youth activities tonight. We will have our final session of our Sunday night, 1 month to live small group, and that'll be down in Adult 3 tonight at 6 o'clock. And if you haven't joined us before, but you want to join us tonight, you're welcome to. We'd love to have you tonight for our kind of wrap-up and encouragement as we go session. This afternoon at 3:30 here in the sanctuary, we'll have a service of celebration for the life of one of our own, Annie Laurie Morgan. And the family is going to receive friends in Smith Hall from 2:30 to 3:30 before the service. So I want you to know about that. Looking ahead this week, some members of our church have arranged and organized a prayer vigil. And we're going to have that tomorrow between 10 and 2 in the chapel. If there is someone on your heart, whether they're part of this body of Christ or not, that you would like to lift up in prayer, these who have organized it want this to be an open time where you can come in and have a time of prayer, specific prayer for these individuals. Certainly we know there's some among us that we really want to pray for, but this is going to be from 10 to 2. The chapel is going to be open. The front door is going to be open, so you can come through the church to go in there or go through the front doors. Very, very informal. Just come as you'd like. Stay as long as you would like. And just a time of specific prayer that we're excited about having as we try to lift up those who are hurting and need our prayers and encouragement. On Wednesday night, there will be no regular family night activities, no meal on Wednesday night. We'll be having our congregational Thanksgiving service at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. So certainly please join us for our Thanksgiving service at 7 o'clock. And then in observance of Thanksgiving, our church office will be closed on Thursday and Friday. Our family ministry team wanted me to announce that as hard as it is to believe, it's about exam time for our college students who are going to be entering exams, most of them the week after next. So the exam pack run is going to start next Sunday. So if you would like to contribute to the exam packs, we would certainly appreciate it. We're going to collect those. They need to be back at the church by next Sunday afternoon. And I think we're going to be delivering about 50. So if you can bring individually wrapped items that would be appropriate for the exam pack, that would be great and certainly appreciate it. Also want to make a note that we've got an outreach project. We're going to be delivering some goodies and making some visits this week to some of our homebound members and shut-in. So if you'd be interested in making some deliveries or making some of those visits this week, please let me know, and I would appreciate your help. I want to say a special word of welcome to anyone that may be visiting with us this morning, any guests that may be here. And whether today is your first time at College Park, whether you've been here before, we're glad that you decided to join us, and we thank you for being here. our ushers are going to head back up the aisles, and we'd like to share some information with you. If you would just raise your hand high enough that they may see it, we'd like to give you a packet of information, tell you a little bit more about College Park and what's going on. There are many things going on. We've got, you know, amazingly, Advent's about to start, and we're going to have some wonderful time of fellowship and worship together during Advent, and we want you to know about that. But most importantly, thank you for being here today. I hope you find this to be a warm and friendly place, but most importantly, I hope you find this to be a place of meaningful worship, because we have gathered today for worship. Today is November the 21st, 2010, but it is not just any day. This is a day that the Lord has made for us to rejoice and be glad in today. Today is a gift from God. Let us return our thanks in the form of worship to Him. Let us worship together.
Let's pray. God, our Father, Jesus, name above all names, eternal Spirit who dwells among us, we come this morning to give you praise. Let the words of our mouth, the songs that we sing, Lord, all that is in our hearts, let every thought this morning be focused on you. Lord, we ask that you would, even now, take away those burdens that may hinder us from worshiping this morning. Help us to focus our thoughts on you. Help us to love you this morning with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Help us to sing with thanksgiving. Lord, help us leave here this morning having given ourselves fully to you. We welcome you here with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture text this morning comes from the New Testament in John's Gospel. I'll be reading from the 10th chapter of John, beginning at verse 7. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. From John 10, 7. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. May God add his blessing to the reading and the understanding of his holy word. As we enter into a time of congregational prayer, I want to let you know that one of our church family, Miss Lorraine Falwell, passed away yesterday morning at Brook Ridge. So let's certainly remember the Falwell family in our prayers. We've had a lot of loss in our church family recently, and we remember the families of lost loved ones and also those that are hurting. And let's commit as a church family to continue in prayer for all. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, what a joy to be in your house, to start this Thanksgiving week appropriately in worship. Thank you for each person here, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for watching over us, for remaining committed and faithful to us, even in times and on days that we forget about you. Lord, you know our hearts and our minds. You know the concerns that we have right now, the struggles that we're facing, the losses, the pain, the stress, the trials and tribulations. Lord, help us to trust you enough to lift those to you and to not spend our moments in worry, but to spend our moments in prayer, giving them to you with thanksgiving for who you are in our lives, the role that you play, the love that you show us, and the control that you have that we do not. Lord, let us focus our hearts and minds on you today and this week. No matter what is burdening us, it is nowhere close to as big as you are. And we're thankful for that. We lift up those in our church family who are hurting, Lord. We know that you're with them. There's no question about that. We just pray that they may feel that they may put their trust and hope in you, both physically and otherwise, so that they may find peace and comfort in their struggles. Lord, we lift up these families who have lost loved ones recently. We pray that they will continue to find peace and comfort and guidance through you, and that they will feel the warmth and the presence of your love each and every day. And that we are able to, even in times of grief, to celebrate who you are and the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ that makes this world just a temporary place, but heaven an eternal destination and a gift that we are so thankful for. Lord, thank you for watching over this church. We want to turn our eyes to you and follow your lead. As we seek to be a church in the name of Jesus Christ, as we seek to serve this community and others in your name, Lord, lead us and guide us. Help us this Thanksgiving week to be ever so mindful of all the incredible things that we have to be thankful for, all the many things that we have to be encouraged about. Help that to fuel our passion for serving you. Help that to energize us to grow closer to you, to seek your will today and tomorrow and every day this week as we try to be who you created us to be. Lord, thank you for all you are and all you mean to us. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
The children. Right here, guys. Slipped up on you. Come on over here. Tricky, tricky, tricky. Did y'all rake leaves yesterday?
No.
No, you didn't rake any leaves?
No.
No? Did you go shopping? Get all those doorbuster specials? No? Well, they're trying to get your money. They're trying to get you. Come on down, guys. Very good. Very good. Is that it? Okay. All right. So what is Thursday?
Thanksgiving.
And what does Thanksgiving mean?
Football.
You're absolutely right. That's right, baby. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Of course, we're kidding. Thanksgiving is about what?
Giving thanks.
Yeah. The name kind of gives it away. We're supposed to give thanks. We're supposed to give thanks. And why can we give thanks?
Because
we're thankful. And what else? He sure has. God provides for us. That's a good reason to be thankful, right? You're right. We do need to thank God for the stuff that He provides from us. That's exactly right. We do need to remember those who don't have any. So that's part of giving thanks. It's kind of living it out. If you go in the stores right now, that they don't even know what Thanksgiving is, do they? It's all about Christmas, isn't it? Well, why do you think that nobody even recognizes Thanksgiving? I mean, it's all you see is Christmas stuff. They don't pay attention, do they? They don't. Maybe they're not thankful. You know, it's like the stores are rushing us to Christmas because Christmas is where you're supposed to buy a lot of stuff. It's the big bucks. That's right. It's it. It's very crass commercialism, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it really is. But if you think about it, it's Thanksgiving is when we're thankful for what we've got, and that doesn't kind of fit what people in the stores. People in the stores are trying to make you want other stuff. Yeah, they're trying to make you want something instead of be thankful about what you do have, right? So we need to, this Thanksgiving, we need to learn to be thankful. Thankful for what we have. What could I give you to make you feel more thankful? A rock. You're very simple taste, don't you? You're good guys. Nothing? Well, I'm going to give you something anyway. Because you didn't ask for anything, I'm going to give you something. And it's something to put in your room to make you remember to be thankful this Thursday. And it's a duck. He's dressed like a pilgrim. Now, you remember who the pilgrims were, right? And why they were thankful and kind of where we got all this? Okay, so why would a duck be thankful? Because he's not the turkey. Right? Yeah? That's exactly right. So this Thanksgiving, it says on the bottom, Thanksgiving 2010. So every time you look at this little duck dressed in a pilgrim outfit, you'll know that you're supposed to give thanks, right? Not want more, be thankful for what you've got. Okay? Can you do that? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, let's pray and ask for God's help to be thankful, okay? All right. Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all you give us. We thank you for our family. We thank you for our friends. We thank you for this church. We thank you for all the blessings that you give to us. Father, help us to remember that we're to give thanks to you, not constantly want more stuff, but be thankful for who we are and the families and all that we have. Father, we love you, and we just pray that we would truly be more thankful people. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, get your ducks.
Good morning. I'd like to read a scripture passage, please. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 16. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come together and ask your blessings on this group, on this service, on each individual here. We pray to you as we are instructed. We give thanksgiving and praise to you for the many blessings we have been given. Help us to appreciate your grace and help us not to dwell in our problems. We return to you this morning a small portion of your gifts to us as an offering to further your kingdom here on earth. Help us enjoy this worship experience. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're concluding our 1 month to live series, and I don't believe that it's coincidence that we concluded on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, because a thankful heart is one that recognizes God as the giver of life, right? We've talked about that with the children, but we can all take that lesson, and once we kind of establish that life is a gift, we can better understand just how precious it is, what a wonderful gift it is. It's brief. So we have to learn to live it to the fullest. So the whole point of this series, this last 6 weeks, the whole point was not so much to prepare you to die, it was to prepare you to live. To live the fullest. Because God willing, you know, most of us will have many more months, years, decades, you know, whatever. But the point is to forever change our hearts and minds about how we see life. How we embrace the life that God has given us. Passionately pursue the fulfillment of life. And in our journey, we've discovered four universal principles that are unique in expression that will enable us to live the life that God has created us to live. The first week, if you remember, was live passionately. The second week was love completely. The third week was learn humbly. And last week, we talked about leaving boldly. Good. Talk about leaving boldly. So think about it this way. Your life is a gift from God. What you do with it is your gift to God. So if you've taken the 1 month to live challenge, probably you've made some changes in the way that you view life, your perspective. Hopefully you've done that. And you say, well, okay, we've done that. We're getting ready to start Advent next week. We're getting ready to start Advent next week. That just blows me away. We're getting ready to start Advent next week. And you go, well, what do we do with what we've learned here? And I think maybe if I were going to take one thing away from this series, it would be to ignite and restore passion in our lives. To live lives of thanks living. Really to live out our thankfulness. And if you only had 1 month to live, I know, you know, we would live life a little differently if we knew that we only had 1 month to live. We would live more meaningful lives. We would focus on the things that we know of that are going to last, the things that are eternal, the relationships that matter the most. And I think if we're going to try to maintain that sense of passion and living life like we only had 1 month to live, if we're going to do that, there's a fuel that we need for the long haul. And I would argue that the fuel you need to do that, to maintain that outlook on life, is passion. passion in the truest sense, passion in the godly sense. Jason's already read from Mark chapter 10. I want to read one verse, perhaps the most famous verse from that, or at least well-known verse from that passage he read, and that's verse 10. John 10:10 says, and I'll be reading from the NIV this time. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. My purpose is to give life to the full. Other translations say, in the fullness. Some say, more abundantly. Some say, to the max. But you get the idea. The purpose is to live life to the fullest possible potential. And I want you to think in your own mind, to circle that word life. L-I-F-E. Short word. Life. Because Jesus said, my purpose is to give you life. My purpose is to give you a zest for living. To give you an enthusiasm for life. To give you a passion to live life to the fullest. Now, doctors are always trying to come up with ways, new medicines, things of that nature, so that we can add years to our lives, to help us live longer. Jesus said that he has come not to add years to our life, but life to our years. Truly live life. Jesus said, I want you to live a passionate life with no regrets, so that when you come into the full presence of God, no regrets. This verse 10, not only tells us that Jesus has a purpose for our life, but it also says Satan has a purpose for our lives. Notice the words there, steal, kill, and destroy. That's Satan's plan for you. See, he wants to steal the passion out of your life. He wants to kill your dreams. He wants to destroy your love and all your relationships. That's his plan. That's what he's working toward. That's his purpose. That's what he's all about. But God has a wonderful plan. A plan to fill your life with passion so that you can live the life the way it was meant to live. But Satan is always trying to steal that. He's a thief. He uses the stress. He uses the problems. He uses the pressures of life to absolutely suck the life right out of us. He uses those things to steal our passion. So if you've lost your passion for life, how do you restore it? I think this morning's message is for all of us. We're getting ready to start perhaps one of the busiest times of the year, perhaps one of the most stressful times of the year. And we need to understand that passion is kind of like a puzzle. There are pieces to the puzzle, and you've got to put it all back together. In your life, if these things are disjointed, you need to put it all back together. And I thought we'd have a little fun this morning. To help illustrate this, we have Russell Palmer here all the way from New Jersey. The Scud is back in the house. Russell is here. And Russell, come here, buddy. I've got something I need you to do. Russell has agreed to be a guinea pig. And he has a tough act to follow after the 9 o'clock service. But Russell is going to be working during the sermon. He's going to be working on a jigsaw puzzle. It's a lovely jigsaw puzzle. Scud, there's only 60 pieces. Only 60 pieces. Yeah, 60 pieces. So you got to finish this by the end of the sermon. But the good news is it said ages 6 and up. So I think you're good. All right? It has the 50 United States of America with the state capitals included. Can you do it?
I can do it.
You can do it. Okay. All right. He's going to work on that. We'll check back with him in a minute. But this morning we're going to talk about the puzzle of passion. What it looks like, all the pieces, how do we put those back together? Now, first we're going to look at the acrostic that we've got. It's life, L-I-F-E. So you'll know how to live life more abundantly. We're going to look at that, and then we're going to apply it. Now, the L in life stands for, any guesses? Love. Exactly. Love. Love is the foundational piece in the passion puzzle. You know, love is the fuel that fires the passion in a marriage. Love is the fuel that fires the passion in relationships with one another. Love is the fuel that fires productivity. It helps us to do the things daily that we need to do. And by the way, there's a big difference between lust and love. There's a big difference between godly passion and lustful passion. The difference is that lust is always trying to get. Lust can't wait to get. And the more it does, the more it wants, the less it's satisfied. Love, on the other hand, godly love, godly passion, is always wanting to give. And the more it gives, the more it wants to give. So understand the distinction between those, because the line gets really fuzzy in our culture right now. But the fuel that ignites the passion in our lives is unselfish passion, unselfish godly love. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, you have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent and do the things that you did at first. You see, love is not just a feeling. Love is a choice. It's an action. And our first love should be Jesus. We talked last week about leaving boldly and how we should constantly be striving to love more, how we should constantly be striving to live more like Jesus, loving as He loves, remembering, you know, how we were passionate about our relationship when we first came to know Jesus and going back to that place in our hearts and in our minds. You know, that point of living out true love, godly love for Jesus Christ. That's the L, love. The I is integrity. Integrity, let me give you a simple definition. Integrity is integrating what I know you're not supposed to use the root in the definition. I understand that. School teacher going, you can't use integrate, but it is. Integrity is integrating what I say I believe into my daily actions. Integrity is integrating what I say I believe into my daily actions. Let me give you an example of this. One of Winston-Salem's finest, Jamie Keltner, seated in the back. Jamie is a policeman here in Winston-Salem, and Jamie has a great job. I can't tell you all the secrets or he'd have to shoot you. But he has a system that he works through, and he's on the road a lot. And to put it kind of simple, he observes people's behavior. And based on their behavior, he makes certain judgments, shall we say, about what they're doing or perhaps might be doing, and then he takes appropriate action. Isn't that a nice way to put it? It is. It really is. And Jamie was observing this automobile that was traveling down the highway, and it was speeding, but stopping speeders is really not his thing. But he noticed she was speeding, and so he started to follow her a little bit. And as he was following her, a car swerved in and cut the lady off. Well, the lady starts blowing her horn. I mean, she's having a fit here. She's sitting down on the horn. And as they pulled up to the red line stop, this lady just continues. I mean, she's on the horn. She's yelling out the window. She's flipping this guy off. And Jamie's like, whoa, lady, whoa, whoa, whoa. And so he pulls her, takes her to jail. He lets her sit back there for about an hour and a half. Then he goes back and says, ma'am, you know, I'm sorry. Apparently I've made a mistake. But you can understand why I made the mistake, because, I mean, I saw you up there and you were screaming, ranting, raving at this guy. And then I looked on the back of your car and I saw this little fish thing, little Ichthus fish thing. And I saw the license plate that says, God is my co-pilot. And I saw the bumper sticker that said, follow me to Ardmore Baptist Church. And I just knew that car must be stolen. There's no way. Now, that's a lie. It's a lie. It didn't happen. And we have lots of good friends at Ardmore. I'm just teasing. Don't write me a letter. Don't call me. I'm just teasing. That's just a joke. Okay? But see, integrity is integrating what I say I believe into my daily actions. It's when my actions reflect truly what I believe. You know, the opposite of integrity is compartmentalizing your life. And let me give an example of that. Imagine your life as a giant pie. Okay? And you may have a slice of pie for your career. You may have a slice for marriage if you're married. You may have a slice for family. You may have a slice for recreation or your favorite hobby. And you may have a slice for God. That's compartmentalizing. But God says, I don't want to be just one slice in your pie of life. God says, I demand first place in your life. I want to be first place in every single slice of your life. Look in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. This verse, we've read it over and over and over the last several weeks. This time I'm going to read from the NIV. And it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Notice all the alls. God says, I want to be integrated in all areas of your life, not just a slice of it. And if you want to have integrity, you have to integrate God into first place in every single slice of your life. And just as lust destroys passion, so does the lack of integrity. Let me tell you how. You know, nothing frustrates us more as believers. You know, when we say we believe something, but we don't live it out in our lives, and we know we don't. You know, nothing frustrates us more than to say that God is first place in our lives, but yet we don't give Him the time, the talents, and the treasure that He demands. Nothing frustrates us more than to say one thing and to do another. And we know that. The third piece in the puzzle stands for forgiveness. It's the F, stands for forgiveness. I don't know if you've ever been having a good day, rocking along, everything's good, you've had your Mountain Dew. I mean, everything's good, traffic's light, you're at work, everything is good, and then something happens and you have conflict. You have conflict with a worker, a fellow worker. Or maybe you get a phone call and you have a fight with your spouse over the phone, and all of a sudden, you know, that just kind of ruins your day. It just totally ruins your day. Nothing drains your passion quicker than unresolved conflict. Job chapter 5 verse 2. Surely resentment destroys the fool and jealousy kills the simple. Notice the words resentment and jealousy. Those two things will steal passion quicker than anything else. Resentment is the great passion stealer killer. And if you'll remember who it is that steals and kills and destroys. Yeah. And see, that's why God says we are to learn to forgive others. And forgiving is not saying, you know, well, it really didn't hurt or it wasn't significant. Forgiving is not that. Forgiving is choosing, because of the nature of your relationship with God and wanting to restore the nature of relationship with other people, it's an act that you do. It's not lessening the offense. It's just saying, because God has forgiven me, I forgive you. It's that simple. We have got to learn to forgive, and that comes from knowing that God has forgiven us. Jesus was the perfect example of forgiveness. Think about it. He was put on a cross. The Son of God. He had every right to be a little bit resentful. But yet we know, his words are recorded. He said, Father, yeah, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. They're ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. He forgave the people who were crucifying him. No one forgave more than Jesus. He was the most passionate person that ever lived. The crucifixion of Christ is referred to as the passion of Christ, the passion for Christ. He was passionate about us. He cared so much about us that he went through all of that he went through, the most horrible death, to demonstrate that love is not just a feeling. Love is an action. He gave us the most loving action of all time. He gave of himself so that we could live forever with him. It amazes me a little bit that in America today, it's okay to be passionate. It's okay to be crazy about just about anything except God. Have you noticed that? Take sports, for example. You know, we love football, and Thursday's going to be a good football day. Don't make no mistake about it. And we love football, but you know, people can be crazy about football. They can paint their bodies. They can be out there half naked in -5 degree weather, and nobody thinks that's odd. They think that's normal. You know, and if they do that, then we call them a fan. Yeah, we call them a fan. But if we were to be that passionate about God, people call us fanatics. Isn't that ironic? Now, I'm not advocating painting up your body or being half naked in -5 degree weather for God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, be passionate. Be passionate about the God who loved you so much that he gave his son, the perfect son, who willingly gave his life for you. Be passionate about that. And that's what brings me to E. Letter E is enthusiasm. To live a no-regrets life, I need enthusiasm. Now, enthusiasm comes from two Greek words. En and theos. En is spelled E-N, and theos is spelled T-H-E-O-S. Now, theos is the Greek word for God, and en simply means in. Yeah. You know, in God. Literally, it means God within. Enthusiasm is God within. So, if you are a believer, you have God within you. The most enthusiastic, the most passionate person who ever lived, Jesus Christ, lives through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm sorry, I'm just not as enthusiastic about things as I used to be. And I would have to say, do you have God within? Have you really opened up your life to Christ and allowed Him to be first place? In theos. God within. Maybe you're not spending enough time with God because God is the most passionate being ever. And you know as well as I do, when you spend time with people, you become like them. If you spend time with a passionate, loving, giving God, you will become more passionate, loving, and giving. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Paul's saying, whatever you do, be passionate about it. Whatever you do, do it with all of your heart. Life. Life more abundantly. Life to the max. That's what Jesus envisions for us. So we have the L, which is love. We have the I, which is, we have the F, which is, and we have the E, which is enthusiasm. Those are the four pieces of the puzzle. And when we put them together, we can truly begin to live the kind of thankful, passionate lives that I believe God has for us. He came that we could have this kind of life. A no regrets life. The kind of life that we would live if we knew that we only had 30 days left to live. We've spent the last 6 weeks. They've been designed to help us think, been designed to help us rethink, maybe, to reprioritize, to change our direction, to change our priorities. My prayer for us is that we would not waste this time that we've learned and worshiped and worked together. Got it? You're the man. You're the man. Good job, buddy. Russell has finished the puzzle. And as a reminder of today, what we want to do is as you leave here, I'm going to move down in just a minute and put these little buckets on either side. We have pieces of puzzle that have the life acrostic on the piece of puzzle. And I want you to keep that. And as we get close to Thanksgiving, as we move days into Advent, as we move day to day, I want you to put that piece of puzzle place where you need it. It may be on the rearview mirror to remind you to behave on the highway. I don't know. And maybe that's where you need it. Maybe you need it where you're getting ready in the morning, where you look down in the mirror or in the toothbrush or whatever, and it reminds you that that's the kind of life that God wants for you. Wherever you need to place it, please do so. Remember to pray daily as we're getting ready to pray now. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of today. God, you're an awesome God. You're a gracious God. You're a merciful God. You're a loving God. And we just pray that as your people, we would be more thankful. That we would focus on who you are and how much you've given for us. Father, we pray that as we live our lives, that it would exhibit the love of Christ so that others that observe our lives would see the witness that shines through us. Father, as we think about Thanksgiving and as we move into Advent, we know that it's a time of celebration. We also know that there are those who may be hurting. And we pray that the love of Christ would flow through us to help and to encourage and to give hope to a world that sometimes appears to be hopeless. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you don't know the Son of God, if you do not know Jesus personally, I don't say don't know about Him. I say if you don't know him personally and have a relationship with him. I'd love to share with you how you can come to know Jesus Christ. I'll be here in the front when we stand up and sing in just a moment. Be glad to talk with you about that, pray with you, I'll help you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but man, I haven't been living the kind of life that you've described this morning. This is your time. You can certainly pray where you are. The altar will be open here if you want to come and pray here. You're welcome to do so. I think we may have some prayer warriors that will be coming also. But come, pray. I'll be glad to talk with you, pray with you if you'd like. If you're here and you say, I love this congregation, I'd love to be a part of it. There are many ways that we receive members, and I'll be glad to share that with you. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Good singing. I want to let you know that David and Janie Bass joined in the 9 o'clock service this morning. I want to challenge you to get to know them. They're kind of in around in Sunday school. They've got a beautiful little daughter named Lily who's in our nursery. So I want to give you that piece of good news. I hope you will take an opportunity when you see their information in the newsletter to write them, greet them. If you're an established member of this church, it's your responsibility, our responsibility, to welcome new people, right? Amen? All right, fantastic. Will you pray with me? Gracious Father, we love you. We thank you for the worship of this day. Father, we pray that it would spill into all areas of our life and that we would truly give you first place in everything that we are and everything that we do. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.